The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, boys and girls.
Hey, check out the flag. We have a new flag.
Nice.
Great seal of the state of Jefferson.
Very nice here in the studios. You are joining We the People Radio with your hosts, Aaron Ryan, Elizabeth Woodward, and musical savant and show producer, Bob Martin. I know I say that all the time, but...
An all-around good guy.
He's
awesome.
And then there's Bill. Bill is our support staff. And I won't tell you what Bill does.
Thanks, Willis.
So we are all things.
Bill is our gatekeeper.
Yeah, there you go.
Our gatekeeper.
Our coffee getter.
Actually,
our door locker.
One when you were gone.
Oh, did you?
Yeah. It's some lunatic fringe.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's good. They're listening.
Lunatic fringe.
How awesome is that? We know you're out there. So we are all things fiscal responsibility, limited government, and adherence to the Constitution. And man, if those three tenets and principles are not in the forefront of our lives right now, I don't know what is.
Yeah, if you don't support that,
yeah, God, it's just
don't call in.
I'm telling you, it's an amazing world out there right now. I feel like I'm living in an alternative universe.
It's just so bizarre. Well, you know, while you were gone, there was a court opinion issued regarding the VA.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it was lunacy at the VA.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
I saw that.
Yeah, so the craziness isn't limited to just, you know, just that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I mean, even our agencies or even the courts are looking at our agencies going, you know, what is with you people?
Yeah.
And I mean, seriously, what's with the Parks Department? I should have had, there's a guy, a really nice guy that works for the Parks Department down in Butte County somewhere. And I should have had him call in and explain to us incognito what exactly
they're doing. But you know what happens when we do the incognito thing, like the voiceover software. Yeah. Then the NSA and the FBI call him. Or was it the CIA or was it all three?
I don't know. It was a multitude.
Well, and you know, it's kind of funny because all of these federal employees that are on furlough are going to get back pay. I mean, they're basically getting a paid vacation. And
well, if they get paid twice a month, but if they get paid once a month. Mm-hmm. They got paid on the first.
Yeah. No,
I mean, this whole thing of they're not getting paid.
Oh,
well,
please.
They wouldn't have gotten paid anyway. They don't get paid till the first.
Right. But all of the independent...
I hate to be such a niggler you know,
I mean,
it's like...
No. The truth matters.
What the heck?
I mean...
What?
You know, how, yeah, I know. how they spin things.
A tech watch. We haven't had an attack.
Oh, we haven't in a long time. But all of the private vendors and concessioners that are on federal land, you know, the people that own the gift shops and the restaurants and the lodges that just happen to be leasing land from the federal government.
Yeah, but I'll go you one better. Let's go local.
They're not going to get paid.
How about you want to drive by Whiskeytown Lake and you want to pull out in one of the pullouts? I mean, we're not talking picnic tables and fanciness. We're talking a spot where you can pull out, take a picture of the lake or something.
Mm-hmm.
They run you off.
Yeah.
They're running people off.
Yeah.
That are just pulling over on the side of the road.
Yeah. In a way, I think this is a good thing because people that never paid attention before, that didn't think that the federal government is a big deal, they now are getting a taste of what it's like to live under an elite rule.
Well, for anybody who thought the federal government wasn't a huge problem, and when they and if they're still delusional enough to think the government should run everything, I hope they enjoyed yesterday's EBT thing.
Oh, what happened?
You catch that? All the EBT machines went out in 17 states.
Ooh.
From like, I don't know, sometime in the morning until 6 or 7 last night. Yeah, can you say pandemonium?
Yeah.
Yeah, supposedly like a computer glitch.
These were like all in the Midwest, I believe.
No, it was here.
Was it in California?
Yeah, I went to the grocery store. And I said, hey, it's kind of quiet in here. She goes, oh, yeah. It was a disaster earlier. EBT went down. And I was like, what? Yeah, so I guess the computer system's screwed up. So welcome to the joyride.
Well, and look what's happening with the Obamacare website. Okay, they've had 3.5 years And how many millions of dollars dedicated?
Many.
And then they make a big deal out of it, and they say, well, you know, we've had 5 million hits. I mean, the traffic to our website has been overwhelming. Well, how many
hits? Okay, you had 3.5 years to get this thing up and running. If this were the private sector, yeah, the company already would have been fired.
Yeah, well, but the funny part is, they said they didn't anticipate that much volume.
Ooh. Okay, so 5 million is what
is that? That's a great excuse.
But that just doesn't even make sense.
We've got 350 million people in this country. You get 5 million people that visit your website. Google gets more than that in a day. I mean, come on.
And the story out yesterday was that Obama was told the thing wasn't going to be ready on October 1st, and he said, go ahead and launch it anyway.
That's my shocked face. Yeah. Hey, well, people are actually having...
He is brilliant.
He is brilliant. People are actually having some fun with this. I don't know if you guys saw this article. It caught my eye because it said DEA warns federal shutdown will lead to resurgence of illegal lemonade stands. Somebody wrote this thing.
What was that, on The Onion?
No, it's on a website called Girls Just Want to Have Guns. I thought it was a great website, too. And, so they're like, Washington, D.C., in the wake of the shutdown of the federal government, DEA agents warned the public of impending resurgence of illegal lemonade stands. Reports of children as young as 5 years old selling lemonade on street corners all across the country.
It's that black market.
They've been pouring in ever since the shutdown of the federal government. Officials warned that if gone unchecked, these stands will engulf every street corner in every suburb across the country.
Hey, Bob, this would be a great time to go home and cut all the tags off your mattresses.
Oh my God,
you're
right.
Better yet, let's go into a furniture store and do it.
No, wait, better yet, let's go to my mom's house because they're all still on there. It was...
You run with scissors. I'll ride my bike without a helmet. And Bob will tear off mattress tags.
Oh, I ran into somebody... Did I tell you guys that? No, it was just this last week. I ran into a lady. I was at the doctor's office, and she was moaning about the furlough. And I said, "Oh, what do you do?" She goes, "I work for the Forest Service." And I said, "Oh, you know, I mean, what do you say?" And I said, "So how's that working out?" And she goes, "We have heard," and her eyes are all big. "We have heard people are out there cutting down trees."
Oh my God!
I looked at her. I go, "You know what? I've heard that more will grow back." I don't think she... it wasn't like a friend maker. That wasn't a bridge building exercise.
Those are not fun people.
It was kind of funny, though.
Hadn't occurred to her.
We've heard people are out there cutting down trees. I thought, you know, honestly, we're not really exactly having a shortage.
Hey, so I want to tell everybody definitely jump on the website, wethepeopleradio.us. Oh, yeah. All of our shows. In fact, is this not our 3-year anniversary today?
10-10-10.
Is it?
Well, today's 10-13.
Okay, so, but happy anniversary.
3 days ago, yeah.
Bob?
I did a little happy dance at my house by myself.
Aww.
Miss Elizabeth?
Happy anniversary.
Happy anniversary, ladies.
3 years.
Bob joined us a bit late.
That's all right. He's in,
but
on the...
You know, we'll just
we're going to invite him to the party.
It was on 9/11/11 that I joined you.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, 3 years worth of archived shows.
Yeah. Individual. Thank you, Robert Exter.
Yes, Robert Exter every weekend.
Yeah.
Up to the wee hours. Doing
scrambles us up a nice page.
So each one of those shows is an individual link to be emailed out. And everything about our guest today is on the webpage, so you can follow along.
Check.
You know, check out all the information on the break before we bring in
our guest. And I'm going to look and find out what our deal is for next week. I forget. But, hey, I wanted to let people know, if you're within the Reading area, today we have that seminar with Chris Ann Hall.
Yes, looking forward to it.
That runs from noon until 6.
Mm-hmm.
And you won't be getting an email from Sally to remind you, because Sally and Terry's daughter's getting married today. So.
Yeah.
Happy wedding day to them.
Yeah.
Yep, I'm sure they're scurrying
around. Those family weddings are awesome. They really are, because, you know, you've got everybody there, and it's
just
crazy.
I was just going to give you a hard time about that. I was like, who else gets married?
we don't want to.
I know.
There.
I'm like, are we doing dog weddings? No, stop.
hey,
that's not legal yet, is it?
No, give it time.
We're in California.
Oh.
What?
So kids in California can now have more than two parents.
Oh, I saw that.
What the heck?
What the too many parents, huh?
Wow.
If we think we got over, whoa.
Now, what do you want to bet?
Shots fired.
What do you want to bet family law attorneys are behind that one? I mean, think about the money they make anyway in custody battles with two parents. Imagine three or four. It could go on forever.
I didn't see a limit either.
Yeah, I didn't either.
I saw no limit. I was like,
and did it specify humans?
It's the same reason the lawyers were in favor of gay marriage. Gay marriage means gay divorce.
Sure. Just double the divorces. I mean, sure. You know they're in there somewhere. I'm sorry.
It's just ridiculous.
It's got to be true. You if you do the homework to see who backed that bill, what do you want to bet?
All right. You're on assignment between now and next. Well, okay.
I will do 10
o'clock today and then next Sunday at 8 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
Notice my specificity because we're talking about points of law. I don't want to get busted on my assignment delegation. I'm not going to be on assignment. My nose is all stuffy. I think I'm going to be sick this week.
Aww.
It's been chasing me.
Yeah.
Chasing me. So I think it's got me. Hey, so today, just in case people were thinking, God, are they just going to ramble on about nothing all day? Yes.
Yes, it would be kind of
it's
fun.
It's We the People Radio.
The Lennies are standing by.
Oh, the Lennies are here? Awesome. Do we have to take a break before we talk to the Lennies?
We do.
All right. So we'll take a really quick break. We're coming back for all you guys that have heard about the Drake's Bay Oyster Company. That's who we're talking to
today.
It's
the prototype of shutting down free market business.
Yeah, it's government versus regular people. Tune in to WeThePeopleRadio.us. You can read all about them. Be right back here at KCNR 1460 AM.
When they move into your neighborhood, they take over but good. They want you all body and soul. It's just your body. Then they go. What shall we do about them?
Time is truly wasting. There's no guarantee. Smile isn't amazing. We gotta fight the problems that be. I don't understand it.
Red tape in the way. Imagine that. You are joining We the People Radio. So today we've got Nancy and Kevin Lunny from the Drake's Bay Oyster Company.
Oyster.
Oh, sure. Easy for you to say.
So I'm going to give you a quick little bio. And again, you can find that on the We the People Radio.us webpage. But this family behind Drake's Bay Family Farms is the Lunny family, now in their fourth generation of farming. A century ago, the Lunny family took over stewardship of some of these fertile lands and waters. And we're talking about Marin County. The Lunnies have the same philosophy as the Miwoks when it comes to caring about the sustainability and conservation of this precious area. The Lunny family has produced high-quality farm products in Marin County for most of the 20th century, and they continue to do so in the 21st. The Lunny Cattle Ranch, also known as the Historic G Ranch, is situated in the heart of Point Reyes National Seashore, with Pacific Ocean bordering one side of the ranch and Drake's Estero bordering the other. Most of the time the Lunny family has been on this ranch, most of the time that the Lunny family has been on this ranch was spent producing milk in their Grade A dairy. The Lunnies have now added gourmet oyster farming. Boy, I'm just not spitting that one out this morning, am I? And conservation of Drake's Estero to their many new ventures. So it sounds like a good deal.
It sounds like a good deal until they met Ken Salazar. Kevin?
Are you in there?
There he is.
Good morning.
Hey, good morning.
We thought we'd let you, you provide
that's all we
jobs.
Know. We just used up all of our information. It's all you now.
Well, thanks so much for having me. And Nancy is standing by because we have only one phone to talk to you.
That'll work.
So you guys will be doing the you tell her. You tell him.
No, you tell him.
Yeah, you answer that one.
Yeah, you do.
And very quickly, if I could cut in before you start, Kevin, there's a really good Q&A on our website that gets really specific about the obvious questions that people would ask about your situation and the really specific answers. So that's there for people to follow along as well.
Super. So you want just kind of a quick background of what got us here?
You've told the story lots of times, so you feel free to tell it however you like.
Okay, well, thanks so much. You gave a nice background. Our family's a farming family on the Point Reyes Peninsula, and our cows graze around Drake's Estero where the oysters live. So, and we've had generations of this connection to the land. The oyster farm has been actually in production for around 100 years, but permitted by the state of California for about 80 years. and from 1934. And in the 1960s, the federal government decided to create a unit of the National Park Service at Point Reyes, and it's called the Point Reyes National Seashore. It's not a national park. It's a national seashore. That's an important distinction. It's a national seashore because it's close to a metropolitan area, meant to be meant to have a lot of multiple use and heavy visitation, whereas a national park tends to be more contemplative and natural resource-centric, because they knew that this was going to be a very highly visited park. We get about 2.5 million visitors per year.
Wow.
And but one of the interesting parts of the establishment of the Point Reyes National Seashore is the fact that it was all privately owned and it was owned by ranchers. And these ranchers were good stewards because that's why the place is so beautiful and still is today. And Congress recognized that. Congress said, well, wait a minute. This is actually part of the history and the culture and an important part of the local economy, local education. We want to protect the farms and ranches and the oyster farm into perpetuity. We're going to create a seashore with working landscapes. It's been a fantastic, it was really a grand experiment at the time, because the Park Service built bridges with, or the federal government and Congress built bridges with environmentalists and agriculturalists to create this agreement where the ranchers could sell their property to the federal government and lease back that property and continue their way of life and their living. That's been a fantastic partnership and relationship for 5 decades. And the problem is now there are new people in control in the federal government and in the National Park Service. And the National Park Service has changed, at least in our view. We've worked with them since the inception of the seashore. We were here before it was created. And we see a focus now more on, wait a minute, instead of let's become part of this rural community with working landscapes, the attitude is more, hey, you're in a national park and you need to do it our way. So we see a real shift away from that partnership and more into kind of a dictatorship that's making it more and more difficult.
Well, Kevin,
to survive.
Well, you were alone experiencing that. The general public has experienced that a lot in the last 10 days. I bet you've kind of gotten a chuckle, you know, looking at the little park Nazis out there keeping people out of the World War II memorial and all that. You're like, yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You're like, welcome to my world.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's exactly right. We're all looking at each other and saying, surprised?
Mm-hmm.
No. This is exactly taking that kind of conduct and applying it to all the people, which is, you know, unbelievable, really. So anyway, the problem with the oyster farm is Drake's Estero is a fantastic ecosystem. It's a beautiful place. It's biodiverse. It has a beautiful natural biodiversity, and we have waterfowl, and we have marine mammals, all these kinds of things that coexist with this historic oyster farm. So in 1976, Congress passed a piece of legislation called the Point Reyes Wilderness Act, and that made 25,000 acres of Point Reyes National Seashore wilderness, and they made Drake's Estero potential wilderness because the state retained rights within the all submerged lands were owned by the state of California. The state transferred those submerged lands to the federal government, but reserved the right to issue shellfish leases, to regulate those leases, and to collect rents. That was never challenged from 1965, and then in 1976, the Park Service and Interior acknowledged that. They said Drake's Estero cannot be full wilderness because of the state's retained rights, and until the state cedes those rights, it can't be wilderness. And one of the authors of the bill, well, actually both authors, Congressman John Burton and Senator John Tunney, both said that explicitly, that this is, you know, the state's rights are an impediment to full wilderness. So there was no issue with the oyster farm continuing in the potential wilderness, and the original lease, we'll call it, it was set to expire in November of 2012. So we were operating the oyster farm at the time, and we were hopeful that the oyster farm would be renewed just like all the ranches around it. Because remember, as I said, it's a working landscape. Drake's Estero is surrounded entirely by commercial livestock agriculture, down to every shoreline. So we're farming in the middle of farmland. But in about 2005, the Park Service said, well, we don't plan to renew. We want to make this place a wilderness area. So we're saying, well, wait a minute. And we had the arguments. It was all about law and policy. We said, well, what about the state's retained rights? What about the fact that all the other ranches are able to stay and those renewals are made? And so we felt like we kind of won that discussion. We had some nice help from pro bono attorneys who said, yeah, we'll help you discuss this with the Park Service. So we finally felt like we were there. Something new happened in late 2006, and that was when the Park Service began a new campaign. And it was a campaign whereby they said the problem is not the law and policy. The problem is the adverse effects to the natural environment. And when I say adverse effects, they were claiming catastrophic, intolerable destruction of the ecosystem.
Ooh.
To the point, literally, and I'm not making this up, it's all in the record, the park superintendent stood up in front of the, you know, Marin County Board of Supervisors, who was supporting us, and told the Board of Supervisors that we caused an 80% decline in the harbor seals in Drake's Estero, and that they don't know how many seal pups were already lost this year because of the oyster farm. It was really tugging on, and they put photos of baby seals
of
up on the PowerPoint.
Did.
They talked about the destruction of eelgrass, which is an important habitat type. They talked about the damage to the sediments, on and on. They also authored newspaper articles from the lead scientists from the Park Service and wrote in our local newspapers about how horrible this is. And the superintendent told our county supervisor directly with his aide in the room, this has actually been repeated on the record with the Inspector General and the Interior Solicitor's Office, but he told our supervisor that he had stopped work on all permits for us, and they were actually contemplating both civil and criminal action against us for this unbelievable and catastrophic harm. Well, they had never said a word to us. What harm? What seals? What are we talking about?
How did they?
Out of the blue.
I think I know the answer, but they measured the seal loss using something. Like, did they have any data?
Well, that's a great question. We asked for the data.
Yeah, I'm sure
they
you
wouldn't
did.
Give it to us. And then this is really what happened. One by one, these claims began to fall apart. When we finally did get the data, it shows unequivocally that the disturbances from in their record, they have a huge database, 99% of the disturbances come from seashore visitors in kayaks and hikers, clambers,
sure.
From wildlife, birds, predators, and not from the oyster farm. So we questioned that. We said, where are you getting this? There was even an email when the park started making these claims about the harbor seals. There was an email from NOAA, the National Marine Fisheries Service, who's in charge of the Marine Mammal Protection Act, and said to the Park Service, why don't we know about this? You're talking about catastrophic harm, and what are you doing about it, and why don't we know? Tell us about the disturbances. And they actually had to admit that they had witnessed no disturbances from the oyster farm. So at that point, we knew this stuff was made up. So we started to challenge it. We said, well, why are we saying this? So they actually dug in more and more, and U.S. Senator Dianne Feinstein got involved, and she actually looked into this stuff, and she had her staff look at it very carefully. It was amazing how many hours they spent on this. And Senator Feinstein got outraged. And she wrote some extremely strong letters to the Park Service about falsifying science. And she was really upset with it. And so what happened from there is the National Academy of Science was asked to step in and review the Park Service science. Park Service tried to manipulate that study and make it a review of the oyster farm and the adverse effects, but the real crux of it was brought in to look at the Park Service's claims. And the National Academy of Science has not only said that there's no serious adverse effects from any part of the farm. They also talked about the ecosystem services have been overlooked by the Park Service, and there's a lot of benefits from the farm. And lastly, they said that the Park Service intentionally misrepresented their own data. And the people that know the National Academy and the National Research Council were astounded, because those are very, very strong words to come from that group. So we thought this was done. We were basically exonerated by the National Academy of Sciences. 11 of the world's finest marine ecologists got together and worked 15 months looking at our operation on Drake's Estero. So this was very thorough. Well, the Park Service came back and said, oh, you got it all wrong with the harbor seals. We know there's harm. Now, mind you, this is 2009 now. We're working into 2010. So they got, and their supporters, there's a small band of wilderness activists that really are working with the Park Service that want nothing more than us gone. They went to the Marine Mammal Commission, and they had the Marine Mammal Commission take this up on a national level. So now we worked for another 2 years with the Marine Mammal Commission and six of their experts from around the world.
Oh, my gosh, because, when this all started in what year?
This started in 2005, but these accusations of environmental harm, the false science, began in late 2006.
Okay. We need to take a really quick break here. Hey, sure. While we're on, it's too long, it's 18 minutes long, but Robert has posted a new video on the page. So if you go to wethepeopleradio.us and refresh your page, it's a video I've seen before, and I'm sure Kevin could tell us about it later. I mean, maybe that is Kevin. Now that I'm talking to him, I should re-listen to it and see if the voice matches. But it says, Feds kill Drake's Bay Oyster Company in Marin County, and right below it is the video. So that's excellent to send out mm-hmm. to people. Mm-hmm. We'll be right back with more on Drake's Bay. You're listening to We the People Radio here at KCNR 1460 AM. Your little seals flapping their little tails.
And we're back. We're talking to Kevin Lunny from the Lunny Oyster Farm. Now, everybody's at Drake's Bay in Marin County, and everybody's starting to get a taste of what government overreach really feels like on an individual basis. Well, Kevin's been fighting this for years. And Kevin, on wethepeopleradio.us, underneath the video that Robert has posted, the first question in the Q&A is, do environmentalists support the oyster farm? God, I cannot get that word out. What the heck?
It's killing me.
I don't know who made up that name.
I've got to work with you at the top of the hour, Elizabeth.
I know. I've been speaking English now for a while, so I don't understand.
She just doesn't speak oyster.
I don't speak oyster English. So, another question occurred to me. Is Dianne Feinstein from Marin County?
Dianne Feinstein's from San Francisco.
Okay.
So she's, close
to this.
Before we say
this. Close enough.
She so rarely supports anybody, so I thought maybe that was in her backyard or something.
Yeah. Well, it is kind of in her backyard, and she just took the time. And we still don't know why, but she took the time, and she's been a huge advocate, which is interesting because... our other congressional delegation around the Bay Area, it's a very liberal, extremely liberal area, and it's Marin County is the green county, and the greenest of the green is West Marin, where we are. And so your question about environmentalists is a great one, because everybody in West Marin is an environmentalist.
Sure.
I always say that, you know, if you want to be an extreme environmentalist in West Marin, you just have to be crazy to stand out. But
everything else is fair game.
Is those are the people who live in West Marin and in Marin County in general. And the county is extremely supportive. There have been several polls because they're well-educated on this. They've been following this for many years. And 90% of this liberal county wants the oyster farm to stay. And that poll has been done over and over by different groups. None of them official, but... So we have environmentalists actually stepping up and out to try to explain why this is the right thing. Do we really want to import our seafood from Asia when it's done sustainably here in our backyard?
Yeah, do you really want to get your fish from Vietnam?
Right. And
where
so
they
the
have the chicken coops?
Yeah, and so the truth is there's a huge environmental support. Where we don't have support are the wilderness activists. Mm-hmm. This is not about
there's a difference. There's a big difference.
About wilderness.
Yeah,
yeah. The wilderness and extremists really want everybody off the land completely.
That's their goal. What it is just offend their sensibilities that there's anybody there.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There, you know, this should be only natural. And now the interesting part is this has been farmland for a very long time. It's been very much changed. The native oysters that provided all the ecosystem services that these estuarine systems need have been over-harvested. And so the cultured oysters are providing that service to the estuary. And so to remove them, according to the National Academy of Sciences, they believe that it's a healthier system with the farm there. Yet
flies in the face of their whole program.
It does. And again, it's not us saying this. It's some of the nation's experts that are saying it. So it's a just to finish one quick piece on the seals, this is just to give you an idea what we're up against, because I think this part's really important. One thing that the National Academy said is what the Park Service should do is set up cameras, because if they had cameras, they'd have absolute data about seal disturbances and what are causing the disturbances. That was in 2009 that came out. And then in 2010, we were out on a bluff next to Drake's Estero, and one of the scientists the seal experts said, what you need is a camera. So he's repeated what the National Academy said. And if you put it over there, you could watch all the oyster farm activities and where the seal haul-outs are, and you'd know if there's any conflicts. Because, frankly, we don't get anywhere near the seals, just so you know that.
Uh-huh.
And that's a well-known fact. Everybody knows that. So they recommended, and the scientist in charge of the seal program from the Park Service, she was standing there, and she knew what the National Academy said. She heard this scientist say that you should put up cameras, and she just shook her head, and she said, okay, you know. And one thing that the Park Service was asked to do for both the National Academy and the Marine Mammal Commission is to provide all their data. So they gave us an inventory and monitoring database and everything. But what came up right before the end of the Marine Mammal Commission study, right after the report was already written and the panel was dismissed, through FOIA, and through Dr. Goodman, who's been an elected member with the National Academy of Sciences, but he's also a local resident. He's been following the false science of the Park Service and been very much annoyed and outraged, because he really cares about public policy, driving good science driving public policy decisions. He noticed something in a report that we finally under FOIA got, and what that was is a database of 300,000 photos taken by the Park Service that began back in May of 2007, long before these recommendations were made that you need a camera. They had a secret camera that was watching us all along for the past 4 years. and they had 300,000 photos, and just to jump to the end, zero disturbances by the oyster farm. That was analyzed by one of the world's foremost seal behavior experts, Dr. Brent Stewart, who was asked to do that by USGS, and they had data, unequivocal data, absolute data, that shows there's no harm by the oyster farm, so they hid it all.
Wow. Oh, gee, that sounds vaguely familiar, doesn't it, Aaron?
Well, that's sad if it sounds familiar, because we thought, how could anything this bad really go on?
Well,
but this is just a flavor of what we've been
going
up against.
Hey, isn't it the National Parks Department that hid all of the money that they said that they didn't have to keep the parks open?
Yeah, those guys were the hiders. And also, Debbie posted in here in the chat room, the vice chair emeriti of the National Park Service is, drum roll, please. Come on, that's you. Drum roll. Okay, David Rockefeller Jr.
Oh, wow.
And then someone else noticed there is a thing called Oysters Rockefeller, so now we're wondering what is going on with the collusion here. Okay, that could just be a coincidence.
So how this plays a role today, because now we're in the courts. The Secretary of the Department of Interior, in 2009, after Congress passed legislation, special legislation specific to Drake's Bay and Drake's Estero, said the secretary may renew the permit, notwithstanding any other law, because the Park Service is saying, oh, well, because it's potential wilderness, we need to make it wilderness. It's our responsibility. So they're pointing to the 1976 Act. So Congress said, okay, Park Service, we're taking this decision away from you. We're giving it to the U.S. Secretary of the Department of Interior, and he or she, at the time it was Ken Salazar can renew this permit notwithstanding any other law. So it swept the 76 Act away, number one. So Secretary Salazar said, oh, well, this is a major federal action, so we need to do a full-blown EIS. Now we realize EIS is simply a weapon.
Sure.
We didn't know that. That's the National Environmental Policy Act doing an environmental review. We trusted in it. We worked really, really hard. It cost us a small fortune. It cost the taxpayers literally millions and millions of dollars. The final EIS is over 1,000 pages. So what happened was they did this EIS, and it is full of gross errors. I just told you what Dr. Brent Stewart said about the seals. The seal, he wrote a report, said absolutely no disturbances. The final EIS by the Park Service says, they cite Dr. Brent Stewart's report, and they say Dr. Brent Stewart found seal disturbances, so there's a long-term adverse effect caused by the oyster farm in Drake's Estero. They completely misrepresented his study. That's one piece of the EIS. It was over and over and over. When I was reading it, my wife Nancy had to peel me off the ceiling a number of times with her fingernails because it's just full of errors. So what happened is we got to the end. It was decision time for the secretary to decide and be informed by this EIS. His last minute, the EIS was not completed. Secretary Salazar came out to our farm. We met with him and we talked to him. And he had to make his decision within a week. He says, well, I have a final EIS. I said, well, that's very interesting, Mr. Secretary, because we've never seen one. So what happened is they finalized the EIS completely illegally. There was no public comment period, no record of decision. They didn't follow any of the rules, never issued to EPA. It was an incomplete document, and it's full of errors. So the secretary says, well, I have the final document. When we saw it, we went crazy because it misrepresented half the science in it. And so what he did when he made a decision 1 week later, he said, oh, well, then notwithstanding any other law means I don't have to follow NEPA, the National Environmental Policy Act. So I didn't need the EIS, and I didn't base my decision on science. So he just told the public, I just wasted multi-millions of dollars.
Of your money.
And I'm just ignoring it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just gonna...
because he knew it was crap. So what happened? Excuse me, that's a technical term.
No, it's okay. See, we
no, it's okay. That's
it's funny. The first time we said crap, like because we're not real like radio people, so we said crap. We're like, oh, can we say crap? Bob's like, yeah, we can say crap. So we said crap like 90 times that first show. And so that's sort
crap,
of our,
crap, crap.
Yeah, crap's yeah. sort of our buzzword.
Just because
so,
it was
you know,
fun. They,
welcome,
just because we
welcome to the team. Okay, we've got to take a really quick break, or we'll. I don't know. I don't know what happens when we don't do it.
Okay.
We were supposed to
You will eventually get cut off by the 9 o'clock news.
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to take a really quick break, come back, say hi to Kevin, and then get cut off by the 9 o'clock news. So you are listening to We the People Radio. Join us online, wethepeopleradio.us. The chat room's fun. And we'll be right back with you in 2 minutes here at KCNR 1460 AM.
I hear people talking bad about the way they have to live here in this country. Harping on the wars they fight, griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down our country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me.
Maybe I'll be there to shake your hand. Maybe I'll be there to share the land that they'll be giving away when we all live together.
You're just trying to piss off our audience, aren't you, Bob?
Nice job.
Our audience doesn't need any help from me.
No, they're pretty good on their own.
That's right. I heard them say that on Coast to Coast last night, you know, that song. And
yeah.
I forgot we do play it a lot.
All hey, right. Kevin.
I stand down.
Let's talk numbers. What's the economic benefit to your community when your farm is up and running at full capacity?
Well, that's a great question. Our local Chamber of Commerce sure recognizes that. We employ about 30 people that live locally and families, and about half of those families live on the farm. And we actually attract about 50,000 visitors a year because we give tours of the farm all the time. We have school buses coming out all the time and families that come out and enjoy the farm and learn about where their food comes from. And we operate the last oyster cannery in the state of California. We operate the only on-farm hatchery, so we produce our own seed. We do seed setting there. And it's all really exciting to see when you get to come and visit. So those visitors come and they stop because we live way out on the end of the Point Reyes Peninsula in a very rural community. So those visitors stop at the local restaurants and they stay in the bed and breakfasts. And so this is a really important piece of a local coastal economy.
Wow. And I can't believe, do you have any idea why they picked you? Like, I can't believe they decided to make this stand right there. I mean, why there?
Well, here's the concern, and what we may never know. They claim it's because Drake's Estero is potential wilderness and the oyster farm's incompatible with wilderness. First of all, that's wrong. It is compatible. It was a pre-existing non-conforming use and asked to stay. The authors of the bill were clear on that. And a lot of the legislative history repeats that. Here's the bigger concern. It's surrounded by agriculture. Close to 25% of the entire agricultural economy of Marin County is within the Point Reyes National Seashore. It's critical to Marin County's ag basis. And a lot of people are seeing this as the first domino. These people are saying, oh, it's just about the oyster farm. Mm-mm. But at the same time, right now, we have ranchers facing absolute destruction by invading tule elk. There's a tule elk herd that the Park Service is allowing completely contrary to their management plan, which they're telling us now that, oh, well, that management plan expired. Well, we don't know how it expired or when it expired, but they reversed their management. They stopped removing the elk that were invading the, whenever they came onto the ranch lands, they were supposed to remove them. Now we have giant herds building and destroying fences, eating all the forage, actually damaging other infrastructure and livestock, and they're, and the Park Service saying, well, sorry, you're operating in a national park. So they're using other tools to work towards removal of the ranchers. And so I think that there's a bigger, it's an unspoken and unwritten policy that we see kind of at play here.
See, it's interesting because we see the same thing up in Butte County, up in Butte Valley, up in Siskiyou County. You know, tons and tons of elk breaking down the fences, costing people a fortune, which is just a way to say, you know what, if you didn't have those cattle, you wouldn't need those fences. It'd be so much easier if you weren't doing that. And so we've got like 30 seconds here. They moved the clock, which is great because now I can't really see it. It's in a really convenient location. It's like at a, yeah, I can see the second hand moving around, but I can't actually see what time it is. So we're going to come back. We're going to talk about Drake's Bay Oyster. We're going to get some more info from Kevin. You guys ought to do a little search for eco-terrorism on the web. The woman's name, what is her name? Look up Oregon eco-terrorism suspect, please, guilty. She started $40 million of forest fires. Yeah, she's an eco-terrorist. Who? Yeah, some lady. She just got busted on the 10th. Anyway, go check it out. We'll be right back here at We the People Radio on KCNR, 1460 AM.
KCNR, Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Hour 2 of We the People Radio. You are listening to your hosts, Aaron Ryan and Elizabeth Woodward, Yuck It Up, and our great Bob Martin pick, awesome songs, and we're talking about eco-terrorism, basically, and these very extreme, and I guess I won't use the environmentalist here. I will use the wilderness extremists.
Yeah, because like the article I posted, I just popped it on the chat room for people. This lady's, her last name is Rubin, R-U-B-I-N. She's a Canadian citizen who came down here and with a group called The Family, has perpetrated all sorts of, you know, fires. And,
yeah.
I mean, she confessed to arson and all sorts of things. I mean, they planted bombs, and I guess a couple of them didn't go off, so they're not very good at the bombs. But I guess they're good at the fires. So, and this is what passes for extreme environmentalism.
They're nuts.
Yeah, obviously.
Go to wethepeopleradio.us. Follow along on the webpage there. Everything about our guest, Kevin Lunny, is right there on the page. Great Q&A, links to the Drake's Bay Oyster Company website. I got it out this time. And also a good Q&A.
Nice.
And a video.
I was
fantastic
just,
video. Everything's there. No excuses not to laugh.
No. And I was just laughing because somebody was asking somebody else on the chat room if they were shrimp. We got lots of shellfish play going on.
Yeah, and the chat room is also very entertaining. So yeah. You can go to wethepeopleradio.us, and we're streaming and chatting worldwide. Aren't we?
We are. Yeah. We are. All morning long.
And if you're just tuning in, this is officially our third anniversary. 3 years going strong. Great links to every show we've ever done. And it's kind of funny. Do you ever go back and listen to the beginning?
Yeah, we sounded dorky.
Oh, man.
We still sound dorky, but...
We tried to be professional. That was our problem.
We tried to be like how we thought we were supposed to be, and it's like, oh, my God, it's way too hard. Yeah. Let's just be who we are.
Yeah, we tried to be professional. We tried to be someone that we're not, which
exactly.
is... We're not professional.
Well, besides the fact these topics are too depressing.
They are.
Yeah, if we tried to do them all serious...
You gotta yuck it up.
That'd ruin everybody's life.
Yeah.
Hey, so, Kevin, in your, you know, in this struggle... Okay, we're kind of at the point now where we're wondering, are you guys open or closed? Like, where are you now?
We're still open, even though with this government shutdown was a little bit strange because the Park Service made it clear that everything in the Point Reyes National Seashore is closed.
Sure.
People were confused and decided not to come to the Drake's Bay Oyster Farm because Park Service said everything was closed. So we've had to do what we can to let the public know that the farm is open, and they didn't try to close the farm, and they didn't try to close the ranches.
Huh?
And we have a hard time asking the cows to stop eating pork service grass.
I was just going to ask if they expected the cows to all go dormant for a while, pull their batteries out, make them all just stand there.
Exactly.
So you guys can still, they haven't actually kicked you out of there. They haven't actually made you fire all your employees and all that. You're still kind of...
We're hanging on by a thread.
Limping along with your fingers crossed.
We haven't given up hope. We're still open for business. We have a preliminary injunction, a temporary injunction in place. We're in federal court. We're actually in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals because, as I was mentioning, Secretary Salazar misinterpreted the law when he decided to kick us out, and he decided to deny the renewal of our permit, number one. But he said he didn't use the science because he didn't need NEPA, because the science was bad. And they said that our criticisms of the science is a red herring because he didn't use that to decide to kick us out. Well, I think that's very interesting because here we are in federal court. And if you read the pleadings from the government, the Department of Justice, and the Park Service, it's filled with the allegations of environmental harm from that bogus EIS. They're very much using it, including harm to the harbor seals that we all know is completely fabricated. So they can't have it both ways. So where we are now, so we actually filed suit against the Secretary of the Interior and the Park Service. That's interesting. Not many people sue a cabinet member, but we did, and because his decision was, in our opinion, arbitrary and capricious. He misinterpreted the law. And you can't do that as a federal official, even if you are a cabinet member.
And you're not allowed to misuse your position and harm people. That makes you personally so you get to sue him personally.
So we actually, well, I think it's as an agency. I'm not sure, as a department and an agency. So anyway, we're still going through the court system, and we're still trying to convince the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. Part of the Ninth Circuit completely understands our argument and agrees with us. So we're asking for a review of this decision and to actually do what's right here and vacate the Secretary's erroneous decision and take a new look at it. That won't mean that they're going to renew our permit. It just means that his decision was based on misinformation. So that still would leave us with trying to convince the Park Service to renew the permit. But, of course, like you said, all the ranchers and our entire community is looking at this saying, you know, the fight that Drake's Bay's put up here, which is truly incredible, and that's not because of us. It's because of our community and incredible people, scientists, lawyers, the incredible pro bono legal team that's helping us on all this, has been enormous, and literally millions of dollars worth of help has come to our side because people have seen this and say, oh my gosh, we can't stand by and watch this kind of federal abuse. We're going to step in and help. So our neighbors, all the other ranchers, including my mom and dad, are watching this saying, you know, if Drake's Bay loses this, we're all toast. There is no chance. No one else could put up this kind of a fight.
So sure.
It's a really important issue now, and people across the nation are looking at this because the way we see this is if they're allowed to get away with this kind of fabrication and falsification and misrepresentation of law and policy, all this stuff, they will just be given the license to do anything they want anywhere.
And, you know, there are a lot of cases out there right now across the country that are precedent-setting.
Yep.
If they lose... It sets a dangerous precedent for everybody, and I think people recognize that.
No question. I think you're right. And our opposition is saying, oh, well, we're setting a dangerous precedent to continue to operate in a wilderness area. Well, it's, you know, if you look at the 2009 statute, it's called Section 124, that Congress passed that allows the Secretary to issue this permit, notwithstanding any other law. They also address that, you know, concern, which is a false concern because this was a pre-existing use. This isn't a new use in wilderness. It's pre-exist even the Wilderness Act of 1964. So But to address that, Congress said that this renewal of this permit would set no precedent anywhere, could not be used as a precedent any other place in the nation. It's for Point Reyes National Seashore, Drake's Estero, and the Drake's Bay Oyster Company, period, and could not be used. But they still say, oh, but it's a precedent.
Well, first of all, you never trust anything they say, period.
It took us years to figure that out.
Mm-hmm.
Well, because you think, well, they have to follow their own rules.
They don't.
I mean, it's very hard for people to wrap their mind around that.
Mm-hmm.
That
they don't.
Truly, at the end of the day, they just cheat.
And if you read rules and regulations that are issued by federal and state agencies, they're always ambiguous and vague at best because that allows them to interpret them any way they choose.
There you go. We have recognized that. Again, we're slow learners, but they can read their policies and read anything they want into it.
Mm-hmm.
And then just tell us it's so. When we ask, well, wait a minute, doesn't it say this? They say they it's basically what they say goes, and they're not interested in our opinion. And they'll even be so bold to say, well, if you don't like that interpretation, you can take us to court. And that's it. It's just kind of it's more of a bully approach. That, you know, what we say goes.
And unfortunately, most people can't afford that option because, you know, the state and federal agencies are using taxpayer dollars to pay for their attorneys, whereas the individual has to come mm-hmm. up with their own. And there are some great, like the Pacific Legal Foundation and, you know, the Pacific Justice Institute. There's so many organizations out there that are pro bono, and they do run on donations, and they're able to step in and help situations such as yours.
That's right. They certainly have. I've heard of that in a number of cases, which is a fabulous resource for people that get mm-hmm. into this kind of a position.
Now, how have you guys been able to defend against this?
How?
Yeah, like who you know? Do you have a private attorney? And just...
Well, here's how it's been. Interestingly enough, Senator Feinstein has brought this, at least made it more aware. I'm afraid we would have gotten squished sooner if it weren't for Senator Feinstein stepping up and saying, you know, she's a great wilderness advocate. She's written some of the largest wilderness bills this nation's ever seen. But she looks at this and says, this is corruption. And she couldn't turn her back on it. So that at least was helpful. And the legal assistance we've gotten are from private law firms. Latham and Watkins was one who gave us an enormous amount of help. Now we're working with a law firm called Stoll Reeves, who's doing beautiful work. The Briscoe, Ivester, and Basil in San Francisco, great environmental firms, amazing environmental credentials. They say that, you know, normally they're working for people in conservation trying to protect, but they see this and they say, no, this is a legal issue, and the Park Service is out of control. So all these resources have been pro bono. They've come to us and said, how can we help? So it's a
nice.
It's amazing.
Well, I think unless you truly have, you know, moved over into the crazy side,
mm-hmm.
I think you have to look at this and realize that this is the end of freedom. I think a lot of the environmental, you know, the environmental community that isn't nuts.
Right.
They look at this and they're like, well, wait a second, I don't think we
well,
should.
And they love situations such as yours. I mean, they love you know, eating what you produce, and they love sustainable farming. I mean, they're all about sustaining the environment.
Yeah, no kidding. Hey, tell us this. What about your congressional rep? Do you have Huffman now?
Yeah.
How's that working out?
Well, it's been a huge disappointment. Jared Huffman knows this issue quite well. We knew Jared for years when he was in our state assembly. And at the time, we were represented in Congress by Lynn Woolsey. And I remember Jared, you know, letting us know that if he could end up where Lynn Woolsey was, if he goes to Washington, he can really help us. Because he knew the facts. He'd had his staff from Sacramento. He had his local staff out to the farm. And he recognized this is how we want our food grown. This is probably the best example of sustainable agriculture we have. You know, we're, our ranch is certified organic and grass-fed, and we locally market all our beef, and all that's really cool. But when you compare it to oysters, where there's no feeds, no fertilizers, there's no cultivation, no chemical use whatsoever, no freshwater use. We produce 500,000 pounds of oyster meats per year without using a drop of freshwater. And Jared Huffman saw this, and he said this. He recognized this is truly amazing. But what happened is now he sits on a committee, the Natural Resources Committee, and we really want to appreciate that committee's chair, Doc Hastings from Washington. He saw this outrage by the Park Service, and he wants to ask some questions about that science. Well, Jared's on that committee, and Jared refuses to help because Jared told us, he says, I think this is just about the Republicans trying to make Democrats look bad. I said, Jared, this isn't about Democrat or Republican. This is about truth and honesty. It's about science and science informing good policy. Well, the problem is Jared is so connected. I can't now this will be speculation. I don't know why Jared is refusing to help. He just he has really outraged the people who elected him. He was elected by a landslide, but his constituency wants the oyster farm. But my concern is that he's so connected. He used to be an attorney for NRDC.
What is that?
And he's really well connected with Sierra Club. And I'm because those two organizations oppose us based on false information.
What's an NRDC?
NRDC is a Natural Resource Defense Council.
Ew.
And it's a national environmental group like the Sierra Club. And they take on these issues, and they've decided to oppose Drake's Bay Oyster. And I worry that that has affected Jared's decision-making because they also are well-connected, and they're well-funded, and they can help get people elected. And I don't know that to be true. We're just extremely disappointed in Jared. We have other members of Congress in the San Francisco Bay Area delegation. They're all Democrats, but just to the north of us is Mike Thompson. He supports the oyster farm. He thinks it should stay. He's told us that. George Miller, great environmentalist. I'm not speaking for them. My understanding is that Mike does. My understanding is that George supports this as it's really a historic resource. George Miller lived in the Bay Area growing up. He used to come to the oyster farm when he was a kid. Now our own representative, Jared Huffman, is not helpful, and we actually said, Jared, you know, what is it? And his concern is, well, this is just because the Republicans are trying to make noise, and I can't play into that one.
Can't break rank because people might find out that, you know, our party's not wearing any clothes. It's just, you know.
I'm not sure what it is, but I can tell you one thing. It's a huge disappointment because we do believe this is a federal decision. Congress knows about this. Congress is talking about it. And this is his district. He could play a huge role as a Democrat in this district, and he's chosen not to help. And he's been fully briefed. He knows about the falsification of science. He knows that this decision was based on wrong information, but he's not willing to help.
It's interesting. Someone in the chat room just said it's Bush's fault.
Aren't you so glad we have that one to fall back on?
I just looked down.
Is there anything that isn't?
I just looked down and I was like,
oh. Well, that sure helped me because I was always wondering.
Thank God. At least we have some answers. So you can't say at least we haven't postulated theories here. All right, we need to take a really quick break. We'll be right back with more from Kevin Lunny and Drake's Bay Oyster Farm. Okay. We the People is out of hand on the chat room. Go to wethepeopleradio.us, click on the listen button, the chat room will open up. You too can play there and listen along. Be right back.
Well, you filled up my head with so many lies, twisted my heart till something snapped inside. I'd like to give it one more try, but my give a damn's for sure.
Was the final barrier?
Mission.
The radios appear.
We took you up and we put you in the backseat.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radios appear.
From ear to ear. We lift up for the venture.
Dominance.
Submission.
Radios appear.
Dominance.
Submission.
Dominance.
Submission.
You're listening to Be the People Radio. We're talking with Kevin Lunny of the Drake State Oyster Farm.
But you didn't think we were going to get through the show without playing Blue Oyster Cult,
no,
did you?
There you go. You were just saving it for just the right time. Okay, so you know how much we like to make fun of things. Well, I'm going to take a slight departure here. This is from the Miami Herald. Obamacare enrollees become urban legend. Will the Floridians who have enrolled for Obamacare please stand up? Nearly 2 weeks after the federal government launched the online health insurance marketplace at healthcare.gov, individuals who have successfully used the choked-up website to enroll for a subsidized health insurance plan have reached a status akin to urban legend. Everyone has heard of them, but very few people have actually met one. I love it.
I got to tell you.
I just thought that was fun.
If people think that, I don't know, kind of funny. What do you say? What do you say?
I don't know.
I don't know who I was talking to. I'm going to do one of those I don't know who I was talking to things.
Mm-hmm.
But they were talking to somebody about, it was an insurance agent here in town.
Okay.
That's who I was talking to. And he had a customer call, wasn't a current customer, but a guy calling, inquiring about the healthcare thing. And his rate was going to be a lot lower because he qualified for these subsidies.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy goes, wow, this is great. People are going to love this. Why are people complaining? And he said, well, you do know it's subsidized by the government. He goes, well, yeah. And he goes, well, do you realize where the money comes from? Well, the government.
Oh, my gosh.
He goes, no, it comes from you. I mean, at some point, we're all going to have to pay for that. And the guy goes, oh, what? Wow. I never thought about that.
Oh, my God.
I'm thinking.
On his way to cash his
I hope it was on the phone. What kind of look would you have on your face?
Well,
you know
the high-risk insurance pools that are in charge of issuing health premium or health policies for pre-existing conditions for all those people out there that think, okay, well, I'm not going to worry about getting health insurance. And then when I get sick, I'll go get a plan then because they have to insure me because they can't discriminate based on pre-existing conditions. That's a strategy that a lot of people will use. Well, those high-risk insurance pools have now run out of money.
Oh,
they're not taking any new...
What?
They're not issuing any new policies.
Ran out of money?
I mean, it's barely started, and they're already out of money.
Nice.
So they're counting on all of the premiums that are going up.
Sure, to pay
that.
The difference. Oh, guys, it's just going to be magical.
I know.
It is going to be magical.
I got to tell you, I'm getting a real kick out of it.
Jeez.
I shouldn't, but I am.
Yeah, don't plan on getting sick anytime in the near future. So, Kevin, if people wanted to support you guys, how would they go about doing that before we run out of time and we go, oh, we forgot to ask him that?
Well, it is a difficult time because we're in the courts, but... It's still a federal issue. It's still Congress plays a role. So on our website at drakesbayoyster.com, there's a how you can help. And so there are a couple of things. One is to contact your congressional representative. And this doesn't just have to be our district. This can be all over. This is an important issue for all Americans. And also there's even a place where people could contribute a couple of dollars if they wanted to the Legal Defense Fund. It doesn't go through us. It goes straight to a nonprofit that's based in the East Coast that helps farmers with litigation costs that's going to the attorneys to help with a lot of the, costs that can get covered if people would be willing to help. And you can join our mailing list, and we can keep you up to date. There are things happening every day. So that's another way just to stay informed.
Nice. Well, we have Mr. Weston on the line from San Francisco who has a question or a comment or something.
Good morning.
Oh, yeah. Hey, I just want to say the Lunnies of my study of this have never done anything to warn or merit the amount of government intrusion into their water right situation there. But the bottom line is the government has conceded the right of way to them during the shutdown. That So are you following me on this? While the government is guarding our national parks with guns everywhere else, they've conceded that Mr. Lunny has the right to egress and ingress his fishing farm or his oyster farm based on his fishing game, his lawful device, which is his fishing game permit to farm oysters at that location. And that just the bottom line, and all the farms, the original agreement was they were to remain forever, and they could pay, you know, it was a sort of a good agreement between good citizens and good government. But the latest turn has been that now the government can do whatever it wants. But the point being is I think that Mr. Lunny now has proven that he doesn't have to pay rent to the National Park Service, because the common laws are he has the right to access the water through that common. He's just on a small footprint there. And the farm is actually awesome, and the oysters are awesome. So I was hoping they could put all this behind them at some point.
Mm-hmm. We'd like to, guess, little government in the rearview mirror for them.
For them, it's been an incredible thing that I don't think any citizen should have to bear. I think it's been a horrifying example with Salazar coming out in his big hat. He was wearing the hat because he's got something on his head that he got when he... some fungus or something. But the whole point being that...
Oh, but that's another show.
Excuse me?
I said, oh, but that's another show.
But it's just rude and offensive to the American way of life. And then to try to turn the public against them with what was basically propaganda, pure propaganda. So the whole point I'm trying to say here is that Mr. Lunny has proven he has the right of way. The existing footprint of the business is so small as to constitute necessary equipment and necessary crew to maintain the oyster farm. And he lawfully bought the place, lawfully is entitled to continue operating the farm, which has been there 100 years. And hopefully this shutdown has been going to be a blessing in disguise, because it's clear that now there's no reason to even have the National Park Service involved. You got to assume the fish and game know what they're doing, right?
Well, I don't know if we're ready to concede that. We spend way too much time with them up here.
Well, right. You're saying in some instances there is a problem. But, you know, this is an extremely remote area where nothing good would come of the water unless there were oysters in it.
Sure.
And that's the whole point here, is that it's the old-timers don't make bad decisions. They made the decision to put the oyster farm there over 100 years ago. All right, so I don't want to eat up Mr. Lunny's time, because he sounds so eloquent and so patient. I don't know how he does it.
But the miracle.
Huge victory. All right? He's got the right of way. Stop involving. He's trying to be a good citizen, is my opinion. And he is a good citizen, but the point being is that, you know, they change guards at the government so often that it's just access to the water now. So he's got access to the water, and they've given it to him, and hopefully that'll be the end of it for him.
Well, thank you, Mr. Weston, for your support.
All right, have a great day.
Appreciate it.
Thank you. Right.
Hey, folks, you should go to drakesbayoyster.com, and when you click on the endorse the farm, you know, name, email, you can sign up to receive updates on what's going on with their situation. And if you want to endorse them, you click the thing and poof, your name shows up right below. So you can get on the bandwagon pretty quickly. DrakesBayOyster.com. You've got 2 minutes to do it. We're going to take a swift break. We'll be right back with you for more from Kevin Lunny at Drake's Bay Oyster. Here's a little ode to the cattle on Drake's Bay.
Oh, give me land, lots of land under starry skies above. Don't fence me in. Let me ride through the wide open country that I love. Don't fence me in.
Lies, lies, I can't believe a word you say. Lies, lies, are gonna make you sad someday.
It's so much fun to watch other people wake up, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
you know, you've known for a long time. I've known for a long time. Kevin's known for a long time. So fun to watch people.
Kevin figured out they're here from the government and they're not here to help.
I love to see the little light bulbs come on and the light shining in people's eyes.
Yep, exactly. And that's your friendly park ranger telling you to get out of your campsite. So Kevin, are you finding people in your... I'm curious if the same thing is happened to you guys as is happening like up in Siskiyou County, for instance. There's still a contingent of people who think that if they play nice with the government, they'll be able to get by and it's not going to affect them.
Oh, my gosh. That's a struggle we're having.
I guess that's a yes.
And the answer is yes. And they're neighbors of ours and people we love that we've been neighbors for generations. And the Park Service is very, very smooth. We have a Ranchers Association in the Point Reyes National Seashore, and the Park Service refuses to meet with them because they said, because of the Federal Advisory Act, or Federal Advisory Commissions Act, FACA, they won't meet with us as a group, but they want to meet individually. And they work very, very creatively to drive wedges and to get someone to agree with them because they're really going to protect you. We're here to help you. And that's how they can drive wedges between the ranchers. Most of the ranchers want to stick together, and they want to support the oyster farm, and they want to support their livelihood in the future. And that means challenging some of the stuff that's really needs to be challenged. But there are the people who are saying, well, if we just get along with them, they'll leave us alone. And so, yeah, that is going on, and it's very scary, and we're trying not to alarm people and try to be it's a conspiracy against us, and it's all this horrible stuff. We're just trying to get them to understand. We don't want to be rabble-rousers. We just want people to be objective and really understand what's going on, and so it's really education to understand that this stuff's not okay. Your last caller was actually spot on. He raised two issues. He raised, one is there are states' rights at play here in Drake's Estero. The state reserved the rights to issue these shellfish leases, and the federal government has completely usurped it, completely ignored it, and our good state of California is not stepping up to defend its own rights. So one thing people can do is we have electeds in the state Senate and in the state assembly. They need to hear about this because all we have to do is have the state step up and say, feds, these are states' rights. And that's what he was referring to, is that we have the right to go there. And the other thing he said is there's a lot of turnover and there are a lot of new people. And the new people come in, they don't know what those original agreements were. They just have their own belief system. But they're good at talking to people. So that leads into what you were saying is there are people, well, we have this new person, and they're really nice, and they want to help us. They told us they want to help us. So why don't we just get along with them and go along with what they say? It'll all get better. So
how's that worked out for them?
It's unfortunately, I think there's a tragic end to putting complete trust in these folks because they actually, here's what it almost feels like to us. They actually believe what they're doing is right. Some of those people that are saying things that are completely wrong, they believe there's a good reason for it because the natural resources, obviously, and wilderness is obviously more important than commercial use.
Obviously.
So we should be able to just do anything we want because it's for a bigger good. And so they actually believe in themselves, and they can become very, effective. And so we see that happening to some of our neighbors. And we have definitely seen it in other issues. We have built friendship with some people that are going through the same kinds of thing up in Siskiyou County. And then around our nation with the wolves.
Yep.
You know, these are things that threaten agriculture because there are people who believe that the natural systems are what is important, and if it ruins businesses or agriculture, it's actually better. It's fine because the wolves are more important. So it's all kind of part of the same problem, it feels like.
Yeah, sure. Well, and what the part that's interesting about it too is once it comes to your neighbor's door, mm-hmm. then you know, mm-hmm. it shows up at their door, and then there's that little dawning. Oh man, I should help the other guy. And this has happened historically. Yeah. I think people are all kind of going, 1930s ring a bell for anybody?
Yeah.
You know? Oh, they're not going to come for me. Really?
No, I know.
It's that is a sad reality, and that happens almost every time. You know, instead of banding together and fighting these guys, people look at you and they go, well, you know, they wouldn't be on you if you weren't doing something wrong.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, you know, this, you know, if you just got along with them and did everything they said, well, we actually did. We're actually pretty easy to get along with. We have great relationships with all the agencies and all our regulatory folks. It was just when the Park Service said, well, we plan to kick you out. Well, that's something we really couldn't ignore. That's something that we literally were forced into taking a stand, trying to understand where they came from. And in understanding it, we realized that it's a fabrication. And so it's nothing we expected either. But it's really divided our environmental community. It hasn't divided our community. It's actually brought our community together in a lot of ways. They have an issue that they can all get behind. You can't drive through Marin County without seeing hundreds of signs that says "Save Our Oyster Farm," because this has been a public resource for 100 years. This is a food resource for this community, and they love it. And sure. Most environmentalists love it. It's a few people, and it's divided. It's people who have been friends in conservation and work together won't even speak to each other now.
Interesting.
But it's been very interesting.
Well, there's a lot that's happened in the last few years that has separated and divided a lot of people, and it's sad. Well, because it shouldn't be that way.
Because really, more than party, more than anything, mm-hmm. it's the common sense and can think for yourself and believe mm-hmm. that the individual has value versus the collectivists.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at the end mm-hmm. of the day, the collectivists are always on the other side of the thing. Interesting. I just was looking at an email that just came in, and it's funny, just kind of along the lines with how underhanded everything is. This is from an employee who's worked for the government on and off for about 40 years and did requisitions, bidding, awarding contracts, that kind of thing. Makes an interesting point. In less than 8 hours of the shutdown, miraculously, professionally printed 3x4-foot signs appeared all over the country in tens of thousands, by the tens of thousands, saying, quote, "This park facility, etc., is closed due to government shutdown." All of them had professional logos, and there hasn't been a government shutdown in 17 years.
And, you know, that's interesting because in perusing different news sites, a lot of people have commented on that. How did they come up
with the
professional
signs,
within hours of the shutdown?
Yeah, the guy goes on to say these signs were designed with specifications were determined. They were requisitioned. Mm-hmm. Bids were posted and vetted. Government contracts were awarded. The materials were then ordered. Signs were manufactured and distributed by U.S. mail.
Mm-hmm.
That ain't happening in 8 hours. So you look at what's going on behind the scenes. You know, problems like yours have become public. But the nice part is, at this point, everybody is seeing
mm-hmm.
some of this stuff, this underhanded stuff.
Yeah.
Because guys like you, the, you know, ranchers in Siskiyou County, it's easy to pick off people one at a time. You know, that's the game. It's easy to pick you off.
That's really the goal. It's easy to do that.
Sure. And that's why they want to meet with you one by one. We had another... I forget who it was. Another group wanted to do a meeting in the agency. I'll think of it. It's been a few months now. But, yeah, the agency would only meet with them one at a time. And people were like, I don't get it. That's so inefficient. Why would they do that? Well, obviously, you know, you can't.
Yeah.
Yeah. They rustle the cattle one by one. They just pick off the slow ones in the back. So,
and then they make an agreement with one and say, well, we already have agreements that's already set the precedent, so everybody else has to agree now.
Sure, and anybody who's watched a police show knows that they don't put all the suspects in the same interrogation room. They all go in separate rooms, and they all tell them the other guy ratted them out.
Sure.
At least that's how it works on TV. I don't know how it really works. That's the extent of my police knowledge. Thank goodness. Hey, okay, do we have to take one more break? It's funny, we only really need three an hour. It just seems like they're popping up all over the place. So thanks to our advertisers. Hang with us a couple more minutes. You're listening to We the People Radio here on KCNR 1460 AM, home of Free Fire Media.
Moister. He found his home life awfully wet and longed to travel with the upper set. Poor little oyster. Fate was kind to that oyster, we know, when one day the chef from the Park Casino saw that oyster lying there and said, I'll put you on my bill of fare. Lucky little oyster.
Are you laughing in there, Kevin?
Yes. You know, you did get a ringer there for choosing music.
Yeah, Bob's awesome.
So, Bob, my hat's off to you.
Thank you, Kevin.
Who was the oyster song? Just out of curiosity,
I'm not sure who the actual singer was, but it was a Cole Porter song.
Oh my gosh, what a riot!
No one could write lyrics quite like Cole Porter.
I was kind of chuckling. I thought, what's Bob going to find today for oyster? There can't be a lot of oyster music. Well, I
mean, when you rhyme oyster and moister, you get extra points.
Exactly. Exactly.
That's funny. What was that noise?
I don't know. It was Release the Hounds.
It was probably my cell phone.
Oh, do you have like Release the Hounds for your ringer?
I do.
Da, 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 da.
For a text message.
I guess Release the Hounds probably isn't the official name of this. All right. So, Kevin, in the final moments we have here, what haven't we covered besides, you know, I'm sure tons of stuff? But
well, you know, there's a couple of things. Nancy just reminded me about a couple of things. She's listening intently, and I wish she could have been a part of the conversation. She's living it with the rest of our whole family. This is a family farm. This isn't just Kevin and Nancy. It's a family farm. My sister's the farm manager. My daughter, you know, does the retail. It's really part of who we are.
Well, it's the American dream. It's what people do when they live in America and they have all the possibilities.
Right, and you know, we grew up. Nancy and I still live there. We raised our 25-year-old triplets in a home on the ranch, overlooking Drake's Estero where the oysters are. We have a really deep connection. But the frustrating part is this is the one place in our entire nation. Everywhere else in the United States, in the Chesapeake, in the Gulf, in the Puget Sound, in the Pacific Northwest, San Francisco Bay, it's all about encouraging aquaculture. It's a developing it, expanding it because of the ecosystem services by the oysters. This will be the only place anywhere that anybody's ever heard of that the government is saying, we have to kick out the oyster farm because it's bad. So it's just completely a reversal of what everybody and every scientist seems to agree to. And so it's a phenomenal kind of an issue where most people look at it and say, what are they talking about? And we have a $10 billion seafood trade deficit, second only to oil. 80% of the seafood we eat in this nation comes in from abroad, most of it from Asia. Over half of that's farmed seafood, where they don't have the same environmental restrictions we have. They don't have the same food safety conditions. Here we have it in our backyard. And if we lose this is one-third of the state of California's oyster production that's going to come probably from Korea. There's nothing sensible about this. There's nothing justifiable about it. And yet they're getting away with it. They're using the false science in the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals. They're going unchallenged, seemingly, unless the judge's panel gets this. They haven't yet. So we're seeing something that is terrifying, really terrifying. And the other thing that Nancy recommended, and I think it's a great idea, there's a huge community of support growing if you look at our Facebook page, there are people all over the world now posting the Save the Drake's Bay Oyster signs. So on our website, there's a place you can download a little 8.5 by 11 blue and white sign with a yellow sun that says Save Our Drake's Bay Oyster Farm. And anybody with access to a color printer, if you print that out and put it in the back window of your car, they're showing up everywhere across the nation and
nice.
Even around the world.
Nice. Well, we're definitely on board for that. That's awesome.
So it's fun. It's a grassroots support. We are not the Sierra Club or any of these giant, basically, lobby groups that have enormous mailing lists of people who will just click and send mindlessly because they already have done that to use it against the oyster farm using things that are completely untrue. Mm-hmm. And people just blindly follow. So we're definitely not in that league. We're farmers trying to compete against big government and the big national environmental groups. So this is not an easy battle, but we're seeing the people come together here. So it's actually, at the same time it's frustrating, it's actually heartwarming. We call them the angels around us. There are just so many wonderful people who have come to our side.
That is great. And, you know, for all the people that are thinking, well, you know, I mean, lots of our stuff comes from overseas. And so, you know, the Asian fish market and all that, that's not such a big deal. Or maybe you just never thought about it. You never really read the package. That happens a lot. You know, we go along until someone brings it up and you think, oh, wow, what is up with that? I dare you. Go to We the People Radio, look in the archives, and you're looking for Chris McCafferty. And Free Fish 7 is his website, freefish7.com.
And he's been on three times with us.
He is a fisherman on the Atlantic seaboard and talked. Mm-hmm. He gave us detail about what goes on in these fish farms in Asia and how they put these, just the down and dirty of it is they put chicken coops over, like, the shrimp, where the shrimp are grown. Mm-hmm. So I'm sure the oysters are the same deal. And they feed the chickens. The chickens poop in the water. That's what the shrimp feed on.
And that's what you're eating.
So if you're cool with that, you know, we're going to have a whole lot more of that. And, yeah.
It's a little too organic for me.
it's super nasty. So,
and, you know, interestingly, too, is what the United Nations has come out with a study about the state of the seafood, world seafood. And, yes, 80% of our seafood comes from that region. But it's also the fastest growing population in the world. And they're saying in another 15 or 20 years, it's highly likely that Asia will export nothing and they'll eat their own chicken-fed shrimp. And the United States is not going to have a seafood supply.
Oh, and, there's that too. So that's a good point.
So NOAA and the Department of Commerce has made agreements with Congress to try to expand marine aquaculture throughout this nation. We have completely fallen behind. The rest of the 20 years ago, the United States produced almost half of all the marine aquacultured species, or, you know, and biomass. Basically, half of all the marine aquaculture came from the United States. Today, we're less than 1%.
Wow.
The rest of the world has left us stood still because of environmental regulations and concerns, and because you're right, it's not done well around the world. And so to be careful and to do it properly, absolutely. These agencies want to see it done properly, but we have to be allowed to do it. And here we have a Park Service flying in the face of our own government who's saying we want this to be expanded. So it's there are all sorts of reasons that this is wrong.
They're just nutty. And I think anybody who's following what's going on these days with the shutdown and all the foolishness, you know, should figure out they're nutty. So I'll save you some time scrolling the archives if you guys want to go learn about the seafood thing. I think this is the program we did where he kind of went into detail about that. It was gruesome. It was November 2011 in the archive, November 20th. The show was called A Fisherman's Life with Chris McCafferty. So, I, you know, just in case you're thinking, well, this doesn't really affect me. I don't really like seafood, blah, blah, blah. You know what? This does affect us because it's indicative of a much larger problem.
Well, and this is happening to farmers with all kinds of crops across the country.
Sure.
It's not just fish.
And it's property rights, and it's all that good stuff. So we've got about, 30 seconds or something. Bob was over there scrambling madly trying to give me the high sign. Thank you.
I realized the clock was not synced up.
I know. I can't see the stinking clock. So thanks, Kevin. Thanks, Nancy.
Good night, John Boy.
Thanks,
Mary
Ellen. Okay.
Thank you so much. You guys are awesome.
Well, we love it, and we want updates from you. DrakesBayOyster.com. Go sign up for their updates. Thank you. See you next week here at We the People Radio. We will be back with something else fun.
All right. Thank you, Lunnies. Thank you, ladies. Don Shellman is next here at KCNR Shasta Redding.